Hello again. It's good to have you in our circle today as we study God's Word. Really, in reality, we think we're coming to your family circle and sitting down and studying the greatest book in the world. One of the interesting things is that we're talking about you can read it in your Bible. And I'd like to say, as you read it in your Bible, keep in mind this is in harmony with the teaching that's found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. I'm sure that many of you who listen today know that passage. The Apostle Peter there, under influence of the Holy Spirit, simply said that if we speak, let us speak as the oracles of God. That indicates that we have no right to speak the Word of God without authority found in the teaching of God's Word. Yes, Colossians 3:17 underscores this factor when it tells us in a very definite way, whatsoever we do in word or deed, let us do all in the name of the Lord Jesus or by His authority. Before we get into the subject of spiritual worship, which I believe is a great subject, before we read about that in your Bible, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father, we come into Thy magnified presence at this hour, grateful for the many blessings of life that You have bestowed upon us. We're thankful for those who make this broadcast possible, and for the opportunity to proclaim the Word and to offer what Thy Word teaches. We trust, Father, that this Word may fall upon hearts that may be much like the parched earth that receives the rain that falls from heaven. The gentle falling rain, Father, will penetrate that crusty soil and will go to the very depths and eventually will cause that soil to be turned into that which is fruitful. We pray for those who are in sin that they may turn by obeying the gospel, reading it in their Bible, and obeying it from their heart. We pray for those who are sick, and we pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, and our prayer goes out for our nation and nations of the world. May men at this present time be conscious of the fact that truly Thou hast made this world, that Thou art God and doth rule in the affairs of men. We're thankful, Father, as we offer this prayer, that we can call upon Thee as our Father. We ask Thee to bless all who listen to this broadcast and those who cannot hear it. And may men see the need of turning to Thee while they have time and opportunity. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. In talking about spiritual worship, I thought especially of the teaching that's found in Romans 12 and 1. So if you're taking notes or jotting down passages, feel free to write down Romans 12 and 1. Remember the very wonderful words there? Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, one rendering of the terminology reasonable service is spiritual worship. And you can see how this fits into the picture. I'm especially interested when I look at that term to realize that our reasonable service is that which affects our thinking or our reasoning. And since a Christian life is a life of service, service to God and to our fellow man, that Paul begins this magnificent chapter by telling us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God the Father. Of course, in discussing the subject of spiritual worship, we must also go back into the factors of what Jesus taught during His personal ministry. You know, there had been a worship before Christ came to this earth and while He was upon this earth that had truly been offered by God through Moses to the children of Israel. And we understand that Jesus lived under that law of Moses. In fact, I was mentioning some time ago to a congregation about the temptation of Jesus as recorded in Matthew the 4th chapter. And I noted that Jesus answered the devil on every form of temptation with a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy, the book, the law under which He lived. So there was a certain type of worship. There was a worship that certainly affected the Jews upon the Sabbath day, the seventh day of each week. But we understand that this law had served its purpose. Christ said, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. And what He really did was to fill it full. It had served its purpose. It became perhaps as a cloak that you had worn for many years. It had served its purpose. And finally, you wanted to preserve it for posterity, so you just simply hung it up on a nail in a place where it could remain. Maybe you put it very carefully in a cover so that it would be protected. Well, this law was a wonderful law, the law of Moses. I remember reading in Exodus, the 31st chapter and the last verse of that chapter, that it says this law was written by the finger of God, so it had to be vital. But it was a schoolmaster, as Paul said in Galatians 3:27, a tutor, a child conductor, to take the Israelite people by the hand and lead them to the feet of the great teacher, Jesus Christ, that they might be justified by faith. Now, unfortunately, as we are told in John 1:11, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And yet there were those of his own people that did receive him. And the apostles, of course, were those who went forth as Jewish people to proclaim the gospel both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. But before Jesus died upon the cross, he offered a number of teachings that had to do about the spiritual worship that, as we would say, would change this worship from the worship of the law of Moses to a worship that is found in the New Testament Scripture. I want to give you two references here for you to consider. In fact, it would be well to read most of the fourth chapter of John's account of the gospel, and especially the story where Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. I'm sure you remember that story. There's a song that boys and girls sing in a vacation Bible study about the water down in the well. And this, of course, reminds us of the woman coming to the well to get water, a menial task in which she came day after day to take water home to her family. Jesus, in the conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, has to get her mind off of the physical water that's in the well and get her mind centered upon the living water that he's talking about. He finally brings before her mind something that has taken place in her life, and she really realizes that she's talking to someone who is out of the ordinary. Picking up the thread of thought in verse 19 of the fourth chapter of John, John 4:19, here's the way it reads. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Then she brings up the subject of religion, and this is what we want to bring before your mind to begin with today. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. The Samaritans worshipped in the mountain, the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem. Now notice how Jesus answers this question. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, and I want you to notice this, there's a difference between worshipers and true worshipers. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Here's the reason for this. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you see, the arrangement under Moses that was good in serving its purpose took the leaders of the Jewish family several times a year to the city of Jerusalem to offer up their sacrifices. But when this great sacrifice, the Lamb of God without spot or blemish, Jesus Christ, died on the cross outside of the walls of Jerusalem, and the veil in the temple between the holy place and the most holy place was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top, for that could have been done by man, but from top to bottom, it shows that God was responsible for this. That had finished a course that had existed for approximately 1,500 years, and by the death of Christ on the cross, not alone did he offer salvation, but he offered a spiritual worship that is binding truly upon Christians on this side of the cross. You find this in the New Testament Scripture, which indicates to us that there were changes from the law of Moses. No longer were the people to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, I understand there are people who still believe this, and I'm sure they're honest in their conviction. We seek not to cast a reflection upon their honesty or in any way to discredit their conviction. But I want to make it clear that there is not one place after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles that any one of the apostles ever instructed any Christian or any person upon becoming a Christian that they were to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This, of course, is outstanding to realize that there was an apostles' doctrine. just as there had been a law of Moses. In Malachi the 4th chapter, just before the Old Testament ends, you'll read about Malachi the prophet saying, "Remember the law of Moses." And then that 400 span between Malachi to Matthew takes place. And finally Jesus comes and he dies on the cross and he's buried and he resurrects. He goes back to the right hand of the Father. And then he sends the Holy Spirit. And it sent this spiritual worship that was based upon, well, spirit and truth. And that's what Jesus was forecasting. That's what he was talking about. And we on this side of the cross do remember the first day of the week as a time when disciples come together to break bread. And of course, the breaking of bread, the bread and the fruit of the vine, takes our mind back to Calvary, takes our mind back to the death of our Savior upon the cross. You can see this would not have been valid prior to the death of Christ on the cross, but he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we're aware of the fact that Acts 20 and 7 makes it clear that the disciples came together at Troas or Troy upon the first day of the week to break bread. They gave as they were prospered. They sang, they prayed. And so the worship that we now have in the Lord's church today became a reality. But what does this have to do with our spiritual worship and daily living? Well, it goes right back to Romans 12 and 1. It doesn't stop with the church building, but it goes into every facet of life. We must present our bodies as a living sacrifice that'll be holy and acceptable in his sight. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're going to have to leave you. Our time is up. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you to their services. We invite you also to listen next time as we continue on with Read It in Your Bible.